to Hayward. He'll step back. Three. Bang! Big, big buckets down the stretch. 32 for Hayward. Hayward on a step back. Oh! Down she goes! Hayward, one big shot after another, and a career night for Gordon Hayward.
This is Gordon Hayward from the Utah Jazz, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Biscarini on KOAL 750 AM.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. We are continuing our NCAA Bracket Challenge. Remember, just call right now, 637-5625. I have an operator standing by. They'll draw you a random team. That'll be your team throughout the tournament. If they win, you win. It's that simple. So call in right now while we still have teams available, 637-5625. 25, that's 637-5625, 637-KOAL. With that being said, we're going to bring in our next guest, Greg Peterson. He's from 102.9 The Game in Portland. Terrific college basketball mind. Joined us last week when we were live in Vegas to talk about the Pac-12 tournament. Greg, a pleasure to get you back on today, my man. Thank you.
Happy to be on. Thank you.
Greg, we got rolling with the first four last night. We had one thriller. We actually had two thrillers. We had two really good games last night, let's be honest. And it really got me excited for what's ahead in the NCAA tournament because I'm not the biggest fan of the first four, but I got to tell you, last night was entertaining.
It certainly was. They had two really good games. I mean, Kansas State was able to pull away late against Wake Forest, and the Privateers and the Mount St. Mary's Mountaineers, my goodness, they were going at it. They were going blow for blow, and then the Mountaineers, in the end, were able to pull it out.
I talked about this on the show yesterday. I want your perspective. Why has the NCAA not adapted a strategy to make the play-in games work as you are the 16th seed in the opening round?
That is a really good question because what I wish they would do with the playing games is award them to teams that maybe fell short in their conference tournament, like say a Monmouth who went 27-5, like say UT Arlington went a top 40 RPI. They played really good, knocked off Texas on the road, knocked off St. Mary's on the road. That's what I wish they did with the first four rather than having those two playing games and then typically four at-large teams, which typically are like 13 and 14 loss teams from the ACC.
You didn't mention Illinois State. Is there a reason for that? Is that justified that they're not in the dance?
I did not have Illinois State in the NCAA tournament. Had it been up to me, I would have put them in. But, I mean, I just knew the committee was not going to do it because they just lack quality wins, which it's really sad and unfortunate. But, unfortunately, that's the world that we live in college basketball right now.
Yeah, definitely it is. Well, let's talk about the NCAA tournament itself. Have not talked to you since Selection Sunday. The one seeds, Villanova, Gonzaga, Kansas, North Carolina. The two seeds, we're talking Duke, Louisville, Arizona, Kentucky. The three seeds, again, not a big surprise. We have Baylor in one bracket. You flip to the opposite side, we have Oregon, Florida State, UCLA. Your take on the one, two, and three seeds. And out of those squads, who has the best opportunity in your mind to win a national championship?
Were you referring to the East region?
All of them. Out of all the 1, 2, and 3 seeds in the bracket, give me your idea on who has the best chance to win a national championship.
The best chance to win a title, it's going to sound ridiculous. I've got Gonzaga winning the whole thing. I mean, I just look at this team time and time again. This team is just so solid top to bottom. And there's a reason why they've only lost one game this year. There's a reason they knocked off Arizona, who they could face off against in the Elite Eight. They've got so much balance. Three of their five players that are in their starting lineup were originally from Power 5 schools. I still go back to the Advocare Invitational. They knock off Florida, a team that plays a bunch of bigs. 2 days later, they knock off Iowa State at their style. They play a 6'6" center by the name of Deontay Burton, who used to be a guard at Marquette. And this team is a chameleon. They can play at any style. They can play at any tempo. I really like Gonzaga to make that big run.
That is, it goes against the grain, and I'm fine with that. I mean, I know a lot of people would bring up an argument. I'm fine with it. You're going against the grain there, and you bring up several key points. Out of the 1, 2, and 3 seeds across the board in the bracket, who was least deserving of that high of a mark?
I would say Louisville should have been a 3 seed instead of a 2 seed. I mean, Louisville just has not played good basketball recently. I go back to when they played in the ACC tournament against Duke. They were 12 of 22 from the free throw line. Couldn't hit a three to save their lives. Just before then, they had lost at home to Wake Forest. There's just so many things that it feels like are wrong with Louisville, yet they got rewarded with that 2 seed. That did make me scratch my head a little bit.
Yeah, me too. I got to be honest. Again, I think you hit it right on the head. So let's start. We're going to talk about the East bracket here for just a moment. Villanova, a defending national champ with 31 wins. You've never seen that before, Greg. How serious of a contender do you believe Villanova is to repeat as a national champ?
I think they are a serious contender. I mean, it's really unfortunate that they're going to have to play against Duke in the Elite Eight if everything holds the form, but this is a really good team that has a star player in Josh Hart. I mean, Chris Jenkins is back on that team. He hit the game-winning three to lead them to the national championship. So, and there are so many different parts for this team. And you also have Dante DiVincenzo. He had to redshirt last year due to an ankle injury that he took early on in the season. Now he's back in the fold for them. And this is a team that they've fallen short in the NCAA tournament before winning that national title game. But at the same time, this is a veteran group. If they can just get something out of Miles or Mikal Bridges down low, I think that this team will be just fine and they'll be able to reach that Elite Eight game against Duke.
Again, Greg Peterson, our guest right now, joining us to talk college basketball and March Madness. Again, if you want to get into our NCAA Bracket Challenge, the phone lines are open. Just dial right now, 637-5625. An operator is standing by. You can draw out a name. That's it. It's that simple. You follow that team throughout the NCAA tournament. So keep the calls coming in so we can fill a bracket. Greg, I'm going to stick with the East Bracket here for just a moment. You and I, at the beginning of the season, I went back and listened to our preseason predictions. We both predicted Duke to win a national championship. Do you still feel comfortable with that prediction, or do you look at it now and shake your head? I mean, I still feel pretty comfortable about it. I think they have the most talent in the country, and I definitely would not want to play them in a one-and-out tournament.
Oh, no, I would not want to play Duke at all either, and I have them going to the Final Four. I really like this Duke team, so I mean, I don't sit there and say, wow, that was a really bad pick. What was I doing during that time? So I think that Duke is going to be in for a big run this year. I mean, they are peaking at the right time, too. I mean, to win the ACC tournament, 4 games in 4 days, that is nothing short of impressive. And getting Coach K back was huge for the team, but Luke Kennard has really bailed this team out time and time again. So I look at Duke, and I see a bona fide contender with this team.
As far as the West bracket goes, and I know you like Gonzaga to win it all, but I look at a team like Florida State and Notre Dame. Notre Dame's the 5 seed. Florida State is the 3 seed. These are two teams that I have told people you mark for a possible Cinderella run to get to the Final Four. Yeah, I would view a 5 seed as a Cinderella story if they can get to the Final Four, definitely. A lot of people tell me I'm crazy in that regard, but look, it just doesn't happen that often. So I think Notre Dame and Florida State are two teams that could actually make a deep run just because that West bracket doesn't look that difficult to me. I mean, compared to the East, we can talk about the South here in just a moment. We can talk about the Midwest. The West itself does not appear that difficult in comparison to the 3 other brackets, which leads me to believe that the ACC has a great chance of getting a team into the Final Four from the West.
Now, I will agree with you that the West bracket is not very difficult, but I have to disagree on Florida State being a contender. I just really don't see it with this team. I mean, they've had a good year this year, but they've struggled away from home, and this is a team that they also just seem to play up or down to the competition. I still remember they were in the preseason NIT. They lost to Temple on a neutral court there, and this is a team that they've got a 7-footer, Michael Ojo. They've got a very nice shooting guard in Dwayne Bacon. So, I mean, they've got the talent. They are 12 deep, but, I mean, I really look at this team, and I think that they're going to get by Florida Gulf Coast, but if you're looking for a 14 over a 3, I would take Dunk City in that one.
Ooh.
I have Florida State making the Sweet 16, in my opinion, but I think the run ends there.
Wow, that's interesting. Well, and it is important to mention that Florida State and Florida Gulf Coast, it's happening in Orlando, so it's not as if it's a long trip for either of these two teams. That's an interesting matchup. Notre Dame on the flip side, how deep can the Irish roll in this tournament?
I think they can actually go pretty far because I do like this team. I like the way that they are playing. They made the championship game of the ACC tournament. Bonzi Colson is a very talented player. I think that they're going to get by Princeton in the first round, which, I mean, that's interesting because if you want to know a fun fact, since 2004, 23 teams have entered the NCAA tournament with an unbeaten record in conference. 22 of them won at least one game in the NCAA tournament. The lone exception was Cornell back in, like, the mid-2000s. Princeton is coming out of the Ivy League undefeated. I think that streak ends just because Notre Dame has really only 4 true scorers and a good point guard in Steve Asturia, but those 4 guys, they're really, really good.
Let's move to the right side of the bracket, the Midwest, Kansas, Louisville. Those are your 1 and 2 squads. Oregon is at number 3, and then at number 4 we have Purdue. I know you're high on Purdue, right? You like the Boilermakers a lot in this particular bracket.
I certainly do. I actually have them making the Elite Eight. I mean, this is a Purdue team that is playing some very good basketball right now. And you got Caleb Swanigan, Isaac Haas and company. I think they're going to present some big-time matchup issues for Kansas. Vermont is another one of those teams that went undefeated in conference this year, so I definitely see that coming to an end. But I mean, this is a Purdue team. They also are in the top 10 in regards to three-point shooting percentage, and that's with their best two players being seven-footers. So this team has all the goods. I like them to make a big run.
Yeah, definitely. I agree with you. We move down to the South. North Carolina, number one. Kentucky, number two. Number three is UCLA. You and I talked about the Bruins last week. I mean, this is a team that's very special offensively, yet at the same time, there's so many holes defensively. They went toe-to-toe with Kentucky once already this year. If you're UCLA or if you're Kentucky, if you're Steve Alford or if you're John Calipari, you can't be happy knowing that you have to run into each other that early in the bracket being a 3-2 seed. It doesn't pan well for either of those two squads.
No, it does not, but I do not have them matching up against each other. I've got Wichita State. I like the Shockers. I mean, Kentucky just, it feels like they're too reliant on Malik Monk. I know that De'Aaron Fox has really come on towards the second half of the season, but you take a look at this Wichita State team. They're number eight in the nation in regards to KenPom rating, which is pretty much a pace-of-play statistic. And yet here they are as a 10 seed. We've seen them do it before. I know that Fred VanVleet and Ron Baker are not on campus this year, but I think that Wichita State has what it takes. They've got a transfer from Kansas by the name of Connor Frankamp that can shoot threes from just about anywhere on the floor. They've got a good freshman by the name of Landry Shamet who's going to control the game down low. And I think Kentucky is ripe for an upset.
Give me your Final Four and your national champion, Greg.
Final Four, we've got Gonzaga versus Duke and Oregon versus North Carolina, with North Carolina falling to Gonzaga in the title game. I'm taking the Bulldogs all the way.
There you have it, Greg Peterson. He is a college basketball expert. He works for 102.9 The Game in Portland. Also, you can find more of his work on Dudes on Sports. Greg, tell the listeners where they can find all of your work in general, because you're a busy man this time of the year.
I certainly am. You can find all my work on 102.9thegame.com. I do bracketology, a little bit of everything for them. You can also find me on Twitter, @GUnit_81. I do a bunch of radio hits. I'm just all over the nation, so it's a lot of fun, and it's a very rewarding time of year. So keep up with me on Twitter and also on 1029thegame.com.
Thank you very much for the insight, Greg. Hopefully we can catch up again next week.
Oh, you bet you can. Thank you so much.
Fantastic. Greg Peterson joining us. Again, the phone number 637-5625. We still have some slots open. Make sure you continue to call. You're going to get a team that you can follow throughout the NCAA tournament. If they win, you win. It's that simple. 637-5625. We're going to break for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up right after this.